This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Buckets. We are still obsessed with the NFTs of the NBA, and we figured who better to talk Top Shot with than the first man behind the first mint, LG Doucette.
You're getting bucket buckets.
Sir, welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be here, guys. Can't wait.
I don't know how much you like talking about. There's this new thing called Top Shot. It's like kind of hard to describe. It's basically, think about digital playing cards, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but they're not exactly playing cards. Right, so they move around, LG.
Yeah.
Right?
How many of these conversations have you had since, I don't know, September?
You know what? Well, in the last like month and a half, quite a few, but from September to December, zero. Other than like drunk on Zoom with a couple friends who are like, "Nah, man, that's bullshit. That's so stupid." And then now they're the ones kicking themselves for like not listening to me.
Yes, everybody wants to be that drunk uncle who told you so.
Well, that's it. That's what I've become. And I actually, you know, what's funny is that my brother does one of the shows with me, and he has a teenage son who I gave his son some moments for his birthday like months ago. And then he tried to tell his dad, my brother, he tried to tell him about it. And Phil, my brother, was like, "Nah, I don't care." And like, that was in like October. And that's when like you could buy all the Series 1 stuff for like a dollar, like all the rares and legendaries. Like the legendary like LeBron Cosmic was only like, you know, $3,000 or something. And it was like the most expensive one in the game. You know, it's like that was then. And now it's like, you know, he's kicking himself. He's still doing well, but kicking himself if he didn't get it earlier.
It's very similarly, I got 10 shares of Nabisco stock from my uncle for my bar mitzvah. I haven't checked if it's worth quite as much as a LaMelo Ball Rising Stars moment, but I feel like it's definitely gone up since 1996.
Oh, yeah. Crackers have been mooning since 96. For sure, dude. Ritz, for sure.
NF Triscuits, they call them. Yeah.
You never know what's going to be the next big thing, man. You never know. That could be the next GameStop right there. You could start it right now.
Well, Billy's the one who told me about Top Shot in January, and like I jokingly bought a JaVale McGee dunk, and like, "All right, Laker guy from last year, that's great." And I like kind of jokingly sold it 2 days later for like a $4 profit. I'm like, "All right, that's enough of this." Smash cut to 6 weeks later. I'm like, "All right, quickly for $2,100. Is that a lot? I don't know. The marketplace is down." I'm like talking to you. I'm seeing the first mint. I'm listening to your podcast. I get involved with that. So why don't you start from, I guess, the top of your Top Shot journey, which is how did you hear about this? And like, how do you become, people call you the Woj of Top Shot. To me, you're more like the Zach Lowe. You know, you're analyzing, looking at the macro picture. You're not just breaking news. You're sort of getting in there with the information, making it digestible and interesting to the common man.
Totally. Both of those are comparisons that I am totally not worthy of, but I very much appreciate that. Lowe is a new one, so that's awesome.
That's a very Zach Lowe thing to do. You're being very humble.
Yeah, just brush it off, of course. Yeah. So all this started, I think like many people this past summer, I had maybe a bit of extra downtime as I couldn't go anywhere and, you know, maybe had a little less work than I was used to. I don't know what everybody's situation was, but for me, it was not a life crisis, but just a bit of like a, where are we going from here? You know, I've been working in like marketing and content and all this stuff for years, for like a decade, and was already sick of it before the pandemic. So at that point, I was like, what am I going to do now? And I had a couple pals that for years they've been saying like, you need to get into blockchain. Like we need good like content people, good communicators in here. You know, just look around. And I had ignored the CryptoKitties call from 3 years ago, which CryptoKitties was the last craze from the same company that got so big that it crashed Ethereum when it got big. So the same business, you know, Dapper knows how to build that viral product. And I had ignored that call then. And this time, this past summer, when I got into, you know, read about blockchain and understood how it worked and very quickly found NFTs, I realized it was the same business and that they had built a new product and that it was also like licensed by the NBA. So that immediately like drew me to it. I was already a basketball fan and looking to get into blockchain. Lots of other great NFTs out there, but that was by far the only one that was like, okay, well, there's actually a giant brand that's behind this one.
Yeah,
the other
it's ones legitimized are kind of, suddenly.
It's legitimized. The other ones are cool projects, and they don't need a license. They've created kind of their own thing, which is great. But for Top Shot, it was like, no, this is... There's a giant IP here that wants to back a blockchain product and develop it. So I'm in. And honestly, I joined like early September. From September to December, it was dead by today's standards, honestly. Like, especially the off season, November was like just flat. And it's just because we hadn't hit that, you know, that critical mass of people that then started in January. Just we were nowhere near that. And at the end of 2020, I decided that, you know, I was going to make a go of it in this year in terms of trying to make some kind of business or just put my skills into blockchain, whether it was writing or podcasting, just covering the NFT space in some way. And one of those ideas that I had to do that was to start a little podcast around Top Shot. And the first week it came out, had like a couple hundred downloads, which made me so proud. People around the community that I knew were like, hey, man, great podcast. So you got a great voice. You should do it more. And I was like, yeah, thank you. And then here we are like 2.5 months later. I'm like the Woj of podcast or a podcast of Top Shot. I'm the Woj of Top Shot and interviewing guys like Daryl Morey. And it's like, it's a total trip, but that also speaks to just how quickly Top Shot has grown as well from like relative obscurity to like super mainstream.
Right. I assumed you had worked for Top Shot because you had like so much inside information. I'm like, how the hell does this guy know so much about what cards are, moments are coming out, what like challenges are happening? And, you know, it's a credit to the blockchain that all this stuff is publicly accessible information. You were just smart enough to be able to like read the tea leaves, not even tea leaves, literally information that's there.
Just to organize it, and I think part of a good game, and it's not necessarily a game right now, but if you look at it like a game, part of a good game is a bit of mystery. And I think what Top Shot actually does exceptionally well is not give away the best part right off the bat. And they do that in a multitude of layers. One is, I think it is kind of fun that we don't know what's going to happen in Top Shot. We don't know what the challenge is going to be. We don't know when the packs are going to come out. That was like literally one of my first questions ever in September. It was like, when are the packs come out? Where's the schedule? And they're like, there is no schedule. And then over time, I've come to appreciate that. Well, I was like, okay, well, that makes us along for the ride. Like if I knew there wasn't packs coming out for 3 weeks, I wouldn't even check in for 3 weeks. I'd just come back in 3 weeks, right? But yeah. It's like this is the surprise and the mystery is part of it. And
it's
also
a little surprising,
on another,
if I may interrupt you, it's a little surprising to me how we've all adapted to chaos. Like we've all accepted that this is like perfectly fine and perfectly normal. Like this is not perfectly fine and it's not perfectly normal. Like,
hold on, there's different
and we
stages.
We just like run towards the fire as fast as we can. Like, give
well,
me
hold on, Billy.
Number.
There's different stages though, and you can relate to these stages. Where the first stage is skepticism, you hear about it, like, nah, that's bullshit. And then second one is intrigue, and then the third one is like glory because you get a pack and you open it and you get a LeBron or something like that. You're like, yes, I love this. Yes. And then stages like 4 through like 99 are just all the stages of addiction where you're just like in and out and you're like, I can't do this anymore. And you're like, but I need it, you know, and you're just in the cycle. And that's what they do exceptionally well is keep people coming back for more, which speaks so well to just the like the internet culture that we have now of just like 24/7, stay on your toes. There's news every day. That's not necessarily a bad product, right? Like that might just be the modern product, is that you're part of this mass of people that all like reactively like freak out and then also rejoice, right? All together. I feel closer to the Top Shot community than I have to like any other online community or any other normal community I have in a long time, right? And I don't know why, but this is how it is.
That's one of the coolest things, I think. It might be a bug, it might be a feature, but like when they're like pack drop in 8 minutes, I'm getting texts, I'm sending texts, I'm reaching out to friends. What number did you get? I'm nervously checking, like squeezing cards in poker games. It's just like, and we're all in this together. I'm tweeting about it. People got it. Some people didn't. Yeah. Then you get it. You FaceTime, you open, you stream it. It's a trick-or-treat-esque rush.
What other product have you ever done that for?
Right. It reminds me of like when Beyonce would drop a surprise album at midnight or something. Yes. And suddenly for like a small window, everyone had to freak out collectively about this one thing. Talk about it, you know, talk about your experience with it, like live tweet the experience. That's like one close thing. But they've just created this like marketing machine that just keeps feeding itself. Like throughout every stage Amir just listed, it's just marketing itself further and further without having to put billboards on buses. You know, we're just talking about it relentlessly.
And they do it just
they tread that line so perfectly. Like, they're just so finely on that balance of like just enough information, but just too little information. And another way they do that incredibly well, and this is part of a larger layer of what I think they do incredibly well, is they don't give up the best part. They save the best part for last. I got into like a semi-argument with Darren Revelle on Clubhouse a couple weeks ago.
It's a great start sentence. To any story.
Great sentence. We can't blow past it. Can't blow past it, LG.
Yeah.
I've interacted with him a few times about Top Shot because he talks a lot about Top Shot, which is great. You know, I'm really happy he's covering it and he's into NFTs.
Yeah.
He came into the Clubhouse room I was in with my friend Drew Austin, and he came rumbling in. And about 10 minutes in, he's like, Luke, like, listen, I don't care. All these highlights, they're trash. Like, I don't care about Ish Smith assist. He's like, I want Michael Jordan game 6 winner. And I'm like, I was like, Darren, I was like, you'll get it. I was like, but you'll get it last. Like, if the first moment in Top Shot was a Jordan game 6 winner, like, it'd be downhill from there. Like, what? Why would we even play? You know, it's like the idea is that anything from basketball history could go into Top Shot, and also that there's stuff to come that hasn't happened yet that will be in Top Shot. That's what makes it, that's what they do so well, is they balance that. It's like, no, game 6 winner, Jordan, that's not coming for 5 years, man. That's way down the road. Because right. That'll by far, that's when we'll decide if that is the best highlight ever, right? Like, that's collectively as a market, we'll decide that. You can't right. start with that. Like, that'd
right
be insane.
Right now we're falling at the mouth for like the opportunity to own a Jay Crowder. You know, exactly, like serial number yeah. 22,000. Like, I don't
exactly.
need.
Yeah. Wind us up on the most base. The analogy I keep using is like, if you go into an ice cream shop, it's like, if you start with the best flavor, you'll never want the other flavors. But if somebody says this is the worst flavor and you have to start with it and work your way up, then you'll still be happy to get like lime, freaking whatever weird trash flavor. But it's still ice cream. You're still like, yeah. I love ice cream, right? Even yeah. though it's the weirdest flavor, you're like, I'll start with the shittiest one. That's fine. And then I'll work my way up to like gold medal ribbon or whatever it is.
I think I would pass on mint chocolate chip. Like, that's how much I dislike mint ice cream. It
damn.
Doesn't compute. It tastes like frozen toothpaste to me. I almost would rather not have ice cream than to have.
That's funny. Frozen toothpaste actually sounds good to me. Frozen yeah. toothpaste, just the idea of that. It's like, I'd eat it. Yeah, sure. A tube.
As long as it's cold enough. Fuck it.
Talking about starting with the worst flavors in the ice cream community, or, you know, just starting low with somewhere to grow. The past couple weeks, the Buckets listeners have gifted me a couple of cards, and each week I freak out because I can't find their names and thank them. So if you'll give me 15 seconds to thank 5 people, and I'll tell you the cards wow. they gave me to really show you where we're starting from in Billy's Top Shot wallet.
Okay.
A person named Balt gave me an Ish Smith. A person named Phoenix 2 gave me an Ish Smith.
Ish. Not Ish, but Ish.
Why is it
yeah.
Ish?
Is it not Ish? Ish? That's the noise you make when you get it. Man. Yeah.
Got it. Right. Yeah, that's when I open it. Sorry. Ish. Spalds gave me a Daniel Tice, LG709, OG Anunobi, and Big Boom Only Jay Crowder. So folks, wow. room to grow. If you want to gift Boom Explosion any sort of moments, that's me, Boom Explosion.
That's solid.
We're looking to exceed that level of card right now.
Yeah, we got our own little community here, and it's starting with those 4 basketball players and Boom Explosion.
Wait, Billy, is that all you have? Is that all you have, Billy, that you only have these gifts from people? Like, you didn't get anything yourself?
No, I did. So I got a couple of packs. Nothing that really stood out, except I got the, in the All-Star pack that came out, my selected All-Star. Do you know the pack I'm talking about? I'm certain you do.
Oh, yeah, the Seeing Stars.
Seeing
one.
Stars?
That
Seeing
big Stars. 365,000 yep. pack drop.
So this was my exciting moment to be like, I know I'm going to get a valuable card here. This is going to take me to the next level. I got a Vucevic out of 10,000, serial number 9,700. So it's up there. It's up there.
It's high. But it's an all-star.
It's part of the theme. It's 4 digits, man. It's 4 digits, dude.
There's only one
better
with
than
5. There's only one with 5, LG.
And now it's probably worth more because it's the last one.
Of course it is. Amir, I'm stuck in the middle.
Last mint is worth more by far.
How did you meet your community of, like, you got the Plunge Father, you got your brother, now it's like you're starting to like flesh it out into this whole, it's almost like a public access band of wacky characters that I listen to the few of the Twitch streams, and I assume you guys are all like friends from childhood, but I talked to like these guys like, no, I met like LG on Twitter like 6 weeks ago.
Well, I mean, I've known my brother my whole life, that part for sure. Yeah. So that's actually one of the most that's actually one of the most, like, on a more serious emotional side, like, that is actually one of the most fulfilling things, is actually to be doing, like, this show with my brother. I think everybody, when they're a kid, pretends to have, like, a radio show at one point or another. It's, like, part of most children's experience, right? Right. We used to have this, like, toy recorder that he then passed, he had and made his own radio show, and then a couple years later, he passed down to me, and I had it as well. And, you know, sometimes one of us would try and call into a radio show and get on the air. So now to actually be doing a show and covering, like, something we're both really passionate about together is actually incredibly fulfilling. Also, our parents listen to the show.
Wow.
I don't know if you've seen the Friday show, but like I revealed to my brother, and this is a true fact, that at one point our mom was on Top Shot, and that she got a Cool Cats pack, which Cool Cats was like, if you know anything about Cool Cats, originally like 6 weeks ago, it was berserk at first. Yeah. She got a Cool Cats pack, and she got a Devin Booker, and she sold it for like $500, like right away. She didn't even tell she was on Top Shot. She just went straight up and sold it.
Cash money. That's a very savvy mom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know. That's it. Yeah. And anyways, so it's a bit of a family affair right now. The rest of the gang, honestly, like, just great community members. You know, I early on, I was looking for some help, and also looking to just get closer with people who are doing something a bit similar to me, which that is basically creating some value for the community, like trying to get those statistics out. And even like you guys were saying, listening to the podcast, my podcast, and saying it helped you learn some stuff. Like, I was looking for other individuals who seem to be on the same mission. I think, like, a lot of people see this, it's been kind of a gold rush, right? Like, who's selling the picks and the axes, all these people going crazy. I was looking for the people who are just trying to help people find the gold, not trying to necessarily sell them the shovels, right? Like, people that kind of had a better intention in their heart of seeing this through and seeing the longevity that could be in Top Shot. Those are the types of people I was kind of more keen to chat with, and luckily found quite a few of them that are all awesome. And now we're all starting to have some fun together on First Mint and, you know, looking to kind of galvanize that in the next couple of weeks.
It's so cool. It's such a fun community. And it's obviously very like-minded people, because it's everybody that's been like, one, a basketball fan, two, nerdy enough to understand this blockchain stuff, three, like, math-oriented of, like, the whole investment side of things. So there's a lot of overlaps. And as such, the audience is like, probably aligns themselves very much so with the hosts. I know I do.
Absolutely. And you know, again, I've said for a long time that in blockchain, we really need better community, or we need good communicators. That to me has been the huge gap, even since I didn't get in that long ago, but that was so immediately obvious to me that it's like, in blockchain, I was like, there's developers, there's designers, there's like traders, but I was like, man, there's really a huge deficit of people that just want to help communicate these complexities everybody else.
Feels like the mouthpiece of blockchain 3 years ago was that dude at the party trying to explain why Bitcoin is like really important right now, and he had no idea, and you're like, oh no, please stop talking, you don't know what you're talking about.
And he had like a Bitcoin tattoo and shit like that, you know what I mean? It's just like, it was so weird a couple of years ago. Now there's so much cool stuff in blockchain, but we still need more people who are like just willing to absorb it and then regurgitate it in simpler words to other people. And lucky for me, you know, I've been able to do it, and there's a lot of other great people in the Top Shot community who are doing the same thing, and just mad respect to all of them, man, because it's like, we need that badly. And a lot of them honestly doing it out of their own spare time, which is great.
Yeah. I mean, just the fact that it's such a public thing means, like, I mean, I just saw today that the evaluate.market guys are now linked to on the actual Top Shot. It's like this third party app that they were able to analyze the data in a beautiful way, and now they're part of the movement. Like, I don't see why the First Mint's take on every moment can't also follow suit. Not that you necessarily want that, but it just seems like.
So you're saying that when you go to a moments page, that you'd want like a little video of me telling you about the moment, or like giving my comments on it?
Honestly, I would pay $5 per moment just to click next to, let's say it's God, I can't think of any other names now.
Ish Smith.
Yeah, I think it's only, this is the Ish Smith pod.
Yeah, and I'll be like, you know how many of these Billy owns?
I would pay $5 for you to film that video, as it turns out, LG. Yeah.
You're not only well-spoken, but you're like incredibly thoughtful and generous on Twitter. I'm reading some of like, because you're tagging me, I'm part of that bracket challenge, and I'm reading some of the replies, and I'm like about to like curse these people out, these ingrates, and then I like read your response before me, and you're
well, that
like,
one guy today.
Thanks for your feedback, man. I really appreciate it. I'm like, who the fuck are you, dude? Like, leave
you're
us
alone.
You're
never going to get a thanks for your feedback from Amir Blumenfeld.
Never.
That's not already abundantly clear. You'll never hear that sentence come out of
his
mouth.
I mean, this guy was like Turd Ferguson for sure.
That guy was intense, man. That, I mean, we got, there's a lot of passion in the community. I'll give you kind of like, I'll give you the PR answer, but like, we got passionate fans out there, man.
That's right.
But the thing is that I
it's
feel like
money.
We do.
It's all money. Everyone is stressed about money.
Well, that's it. And I will
me,
say,
man.
You guys know this. Top Shot can be a stressful product. It could be really frustrating. And inevitably, being so tied close to it, it's like we're putting ourselves on the front lines there. Like we bear the brunt of some of that inevitably, just mainly because I tweet, I'm like, the drop has been delayed 30 minutes. And then I just get like 90 comments within 10 seconds of like, fucking, you know, you could just feel people just like raging at their
why
computer.
Why did you delay it, LG? Why did you
and there's
delay
been,
it?
And I try and be nice about it. There's a few times, where, but I've literally written to people a couple times and be like, buddy, I don't work there. And they're like, oh, really? Or other times like, yeah, I know, I'm just so mad. Like, it's okay. Like, it's okay.
It'll happen.
Relax. You know, it's
people
like,
just
like
want
the, and it's
Josh
also
Okogie assist more than anything else. Well, they want that Okogie.
And it's also, it's amazing. I think what's really amazing is people get so enraged, and I do as well. I have as well. Over, like, they haven't even lost money. It's over the, especially the pack drops. It's like, but people don't have a spot in line. You know, you get queued up, and especially like yesterday was the drops, and it's only 25,000 of them. And if people have spot like 120,000, definitely not getting anything. People get so enraged by the idea that they're not going to be, they don't get a high enough spot in line to then qualify to spend $9 on a pack that might be worth 400. Like, it's just like a funny, like, what a weird dynamic we have. It's not like they're not actually losing money.
It's yeah. Like, it's that trap where it's like, why wasn't I chosen to like give this, like the dream given to me? Why wasn't it handed to me? Why was it handed to the person next to me? And it's like such a dangerous game to play, to like start believing like you are entitled to anything. You know,
I've never seen that in a product like this, like so repetitively, right? Like kind of bring out that inner child, like from grade five, where it's like, wait, why don't I get picked? You know what I mean? Like everybody puts up their hand, but only one kid gets to go to the front of the class. That's kind of how it feels.
For sure.
And it feel, and when you're in grade five, you're like, it's so unfair, even though it's like, well, no, the teacher can only pick one person. Like that's it's math, man. But it's like, they've kind of somehow found a way to bring that back. Cause that's how it feels like when you don't get a pack, you're just like, oh, like it hurts, right? And you're like, but you didn't even lose any money, like nothing happened to you.
No,
but
I'm just a loser. So I'm just a loser at 107,000th place.
That's what
right
it
now
feels like.
And my cool friend Amir like got 11,000. Like, why is he that much cooler? Is he 10x cooler than me? Is that what Top Shot is telling me?
You do have the patience of a kindergarten teacher, I will say, on Twitter and like on your podcast. You're like, I know, guys, I'm also upset. Like, oh, what a nice, gentle host, a great voice to be ushering me into this crazy environment.
Thank you.
Are you in the weeds as well? Like, or are you more focused on the macro picture of Top Shot? Like, are you worried about your Chris Paul Series 2 going up $8 and flipping it? Are you like, let me sort of figure out where Top Shot's going to be in 5 years, more so than where it's going to be in 5 hours?
Both. I mean, I'm fortunate enough that I found this early enough that I do have like a few Series 1 moments that I've luckily held on to. I sold a ton at the way too early, foolishly, but you know, no way to get that back. But I do, I have like, obviously, like I have a long-term strategy where there's some stuff where it's like, no, like that is the last stuff I would ever sell. You know what I mean? It's like, I'd only sell that. Like I have like a Giannis Series 1, like metallic gold. It's like, cool. Like that's a great moment. I will, if that's ever worth like $500,000, great. I'll sell it then. But for right now, I don't know, like 10 grand is like, no, it's like, it's fine. Like I think it can go up more. Let's say if this grows.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
But I do have short term, like I'm going to do the LeBron Seeing Stars challenge. Like I've been collecting those in the last couple of days. Been thinking about the Rising Stars Zion, although it's going to be super expensive. No, I've got like a short term strategy. I also use like very much.
Can I interest you in Ish Smith? I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, I'm good. I sold all mine, man. Billy, I sold all those, man.
You got to really stop asking him about the Ish.
You can trade those for a chocolate milk carton, man. I wouldn't even trade that for that.
$249,999.
Listen, Billy, I got a great place where you can go to find a trade partner, and it's called the NBA Top Shot Discord. I highly recommend it if you want to go
there. I'll see you there.
Been there. That's like it, that place is like Mad Max when they're giving each other water. Yeah, everyone's just huffing spray paint and melting in the desert together in that Top Shot Discord. It is a scary place.
It's getting better. They're doing a great job cleaning it up and kind of getting it more orderly. So it's getting better. No, anyways, I do actively buy and sell and trade. And I use very much like the Warren Buffett, or I don't even know if he's ever said this, but what I think Warren Buffett said once, but I don't know if he ever actually did, is, it's something like, he didn't say this, but it's like buy when everybody else is selling and sell when everybody else is buying. And in investing and trading, it's literally the hardest thing in the world is to go opposite the way of traffic, opposite the flow of traffic. But that is a strategy I've employed here and there, is that to buy on the way down. Honestly.
It's hard because like, you're always like, oh, if it just went down, I would buy more. Like I always say that with Bitcoin. If it went down, I would buy more. And then it goes down. You're like, oh, actually, it's going down. I don't want to buy more. I want to sell more. Exactly. And then it's like, it's going up. You're like, oh, shit, it's too late. I should have bought when it was down.
I should have bought.
Buy the dip.
And we were traumatized. We watched Bitcoin drop like 90% in like 3 months, 3 years ago. And so like there's definitely some inherited trauma with also just being like, but when do I buy? It's all going to disappear in the end. Like that's, you know.
That's it, so right?
It takes some balls, yeah.
It takes balls, but it's so counterintuitive. And it's like if you're in a crowd. If everybody starts running around one way, you're like, am I going to be the only person going the other way? Like that's, I'll probably die if that happens, right? But it's just like, no, actually, you might be the only one who survives.
Right. That's Will Smith does that in the movies. When everyone else is running, he runs into the fire, and he's always the hero. So learn from Will, if no one else.
Yeah, long term, are you super optimistic? Are you cautiously optimistic? Are you let's wait and see? It can go either way kind of guy? And let's say past this off season, like where do you see Top Shot? Do you think there's five times as many people and the prices are soaring and there's another surge like there was in February? Or that could have been a once in a lifetime situation?
Good question. I think the economy needs to stabilize. And I think we're getting closer to that. Like you can't have major surges like that. I don't think that's what Top Shot wants. Like they don't want people to buy the top and then get totally screwed. That's not the intent of that product. The market is going to be a market. So that might happen. But I think what they want, and I've been saying this for a while, is that it's like the ultimate goal is for a new person to come into Top Shot, be able to buy a very basic pack for very little money, for that to be available to them, and for them to open that pack and maybe get a good moment or maybe just get total crap. That is goal number one. Goal number two is for that same person to go in the marketplace and find one of their favorite players for under $20. Like that is truly what I believe they want to do. So if your favorite player is, well, maybe not Ish Smith, but let's say like Damian Lillard, right? Great player, should be maybe an MVP candidate this year, or you know, should have more accolades in his career. You should be able as a new collector, if that's your favorite player, to come in and buy him for like $25 max, no matter the scarcity count or any of that crap. Like you should just be able to get, as a collector, get your favorite guy for an affordable price. That is a goal. 2 weeks ago, that was impossible, but now we're getting a little closer to it. So that we need that to stabilize. Long term, I literally think that in Top Shot, I think we're looking at the tip of the iceberg. I think there's so much more we don't know that's going to be rolled out.
Interesting.
Yeah. I've heard like how it could potentially be like used for ticket sales or like VIP access in stadium, or it could make you an exclusive member because you own like 100 of this specific moment from this specific team. Do you think that it might go that way, or is it going to turn into basketball cards where it's like you open a pack and some are good and some are bad? Like that seems big and possible, but I'm curious, what do you think?
Can it be both?
I wonder. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, because it's something with baseball cards, like you never really thought of that, right? You never thought that you'd go to like, I don't know, like a Mets game and be like, hey, look at my like collection. And they'd be like, oh, sit right here, sir. You know what I mean? Like you never thought of that. Right. Like, no, really. That's that so you're like, that's Franco, so stupid.
Right this way. Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny is that there's a meme that goes around a lot that I actually think it now is a joke, but I think that that'll actually be reality soon. Is it's like the guy standing at the party and he's like, they don't know that I own a LaMelo ball. You know what I'm talking about? It's like this, like the stick drawing people.
Yeah.
And I think that that is actually going to get flipped on its head, that it's like, no, I think you're going to show up to a stadium and you're going to scan your Top Shot account and they will know that you own a LaMelo and that will unlock something really special for you. I think that that, people love
not
free
mad
things
at soda.
Man. Like a free t-shirt, whatever you want, you know what
Same.
I mean, it's like I think that
interesting,
there's the sky's the limit. I think what is going to be most important to that though is for it to not be cookie cutter. I think teams and players all need to develop an entirely different strategy for what they want that to be. So for example, maybe it'll turn out that like Evan Fournier has the best NFT fan club there is, like owning Evan Fournier moments, that he gives the best rewards to his fans for owning NFTs of him. That could turn out to be true, and that you're like, hey man, you know what, who I love? Evan Fournier. Like, forget Steph Curry does nothing for his NFT owners. I love Evan Fournier. You know what I mean? It's something you haven't thought of that yet, but NFTs might unlock that idea through the player's personality.
Well, Halliburton is starting to do that, almost like becoming this Top Shot like celebrity, where his moment, he's not necessarily a better player than Chris Paul, but he's got more Top Shot cachet and he's in the ecosystem enough that his moments are worth more. So we've already started seeing a little bit of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We need Ish. We need Ish to get cute.
All right, not to deviate from basketball too much, but through Top Shot, me, myself, and I bet a bunch of other people are starting to realize that the world of NFTs is so big and vast. You know, you're on Crypto Slam and you're like, wait a minute, what's Sorare? Wait a minute, what's CryptoPunks? What are these other NFTs? Do you mess with that whole side of things too?
I do.
Do you have any favorites beyond NBA Top Shot? If Top Shot's your number one, what's your number two?
Only stuff I'm... It has to be stuff I mess with. Sorry, I'm playing on your pun.
That's right. You have to mess with it.
No. There's... I mean, I've been so preoccupied with Top Shot and doing the first mint that I've had to put a lot of that stuff on the back burner. I was relatively active in some other communities before. There's a few really cool projects. I'm very keen on the gaming projects in NFT space. I think that they very quickly will provide the best use case for actual utility in NFTs, like CryptoPunks, all that kind of stuff. Like the only utility is clout, that you're like, I got the CryptoPunk, and you know, now there's like literally 10 million CryptoPunk offshoots of like Crypto Kongs and Crypto Dragon and Crypto like someone made CryptoPunks, like they made them outfits, so you like, it's just like, I don't Saw you know that. What I mean, socks, yeah. There's all this stuff, which is cool, but that's kind of the gold rush part, honestly, is that it's just like, everyone's like, we got to make this. And you can just go on Rarible and just make your own NFT. So it's like, cool, everyone's just trying to do this.
Yeah.
There's some stuff that's been in development for years. It's been in development for as long as Top Shot, as if not longer, that is about to go live. On the gaming side, two games I want to talk about. One is called Axie Infinity. Basically, Axie Infinity is... It's a little bit like Pokemon in the way that you collect like a little team. They're kind of like these little pig things and each have their own traits and abilities. It's basically you play them against each other like a card game, like you play your moves, whatever. And very similar to CryptoKitties, you can take two of them and breed them into a completely new Axie, they're called. And basically your Axie might, your newly bred Axie might be super powerful if you get two other powerful ones together. So naturally within that, there's hundreds of thousands of them and they've got their own economy of like, here's the rarest ones with the best traits, they're worth more, and so on. Within that game, when you play another person online, the winner gets 7 of the tokens of the game. They're called Standard Love Potion, SLP. You use that token to breed your Axies. So it's kind of like you make the money that you then use to breed them. But those tokens have actual financial value. Like each of those SLPs are worth like, I don't know, like 1 cent or something like that. So every time you battle and you make like 7 cents. So if you're really good, you can make quite the killing. They have season long tournaments where it's like the purse is like 10 grand of these tokens. And the other thing that they've unlocked, and this is related to the next game I'm going to talk about called The Sandbox, is they've started to sell land in their game. So basically, right now it's a battle game, but soon it's going to be an open world game where you just travel around to other people's plots. And basically, you'll be able to charge people to like train their axes on your plot. So you actually own the land. So it's like, think of like Pokemon, except it's like, no, at one point you can actually just buy one of the gyms. And anytime someone goes in the gym, they pay you rent like it's Monopoly. And you get paid in the rent of the tokens of the game.
I'm so literally telling Amir, I've wanted to open a Pokemon gym for years, and he laughs me out every single time.
I'm not kidding, Billy. There's a game called Chain Monsters, which is going to be on Flow. They're partnered with Dapper because they're building on Flow. That is literally Pokemon for the modern blockchain, where when they did their Kickstarter, you could literally buy one of the gyms.
I will be there. I'll see you there.
And you can name it, and you can. People have bought it. People own those gyms, and they're going to name them after themselves.
Okay. My God. Okay. Wait, you said there was another game?
The other game is called The Sandbox. It's very much like Minecraft, right? So it's open world, and you just build all this, you build like dragons and roller coasters, all this crazy stuff. But same idea where they have sold plots of land that you own, and you build whatever you want on it. So it's like literally Roller Coaster Tycoon owns like a giant square of land in The Sandbox where they are going to build Roller Coaster Tycoon games in there eventually when it opens up. And again, the idea that people, when they use it, you earn some of the in-game currency for Sandbox is called sand, naturally. Classic. And you can use that sand to pay to build things, or you can just cash it out and go make money. Retroactively, think about what that means. Think about the ownership of a video game level. Think about if I sold you like level 2 of the original Super Mario. How much would that be worth? That every single time someone played level 2 of Super Mario, the first one, you got rent from that. How much would that in NFT form be worth?
Is there a right answer?
Is there a free life? I think there's a free life on that level, so it might be worth more, AB.
Yeah, you go down the pipe, right? It's all blue. And then
but you guys are joking, but I'm dead serious. Like this, it's like, it's going to change the way you play these games in the way that right now, in Fortnite, you can buy a skin or whatever, but it's like, Fortnite shuts down. You're screwed. Like your stuff is not worth anything. Whereas this is like, no, you can take your land from The Sandbox and you can go into any other NFT exchange and sell it wherever you want, you know? And that's what it's going to be.
It feels like Monopoly where when they land on your real estate, they have to pay a little. You know,
it's exactly like Monopoly, except you get the in-game token that you can use to make more stuff. There you go. Cash out if you want.
Everything is Pogs and Magic the Gathering, just digitized. It's all the Tamagotchis, the Gigapets we grew up with, like watering your little fake plant so that it grows up into a full thing. It's all like the new 2021 version of that stuff.
It is. Yeah.
And when I hear about new stuff, the angel on my shoulder is like, you know, this is for young kids. You got the NBA stuff. That makes sense. And then there's like the devil on the other side. He's like, this is it. You're finally hearing about it. It's like hearing about Top Shot in September. You got to like learn this ecosystem, monetize it now, stake your flag so that in 2 years when your dad is asking you, have you ever heard about this thing? You're like, yeah, I've been there for 2 years. And he's like, oh my God, how did you know about it? Well, basically, I had the guy on a podcast. And what's a podcast? So I feel like I'm on two minds about this whole shit.
LG, if I told you how many times I've heard Amir say, how have we not put our life savings into this about various things in the past 6 months? But Top Shot really took the cake, a collision of all of Amir's worst vices collapsing into one.
It was dangerous. It's a dangerous situation for me.
The way I see this stuff, guys, is that this is all the early goings of all of it. And same as if you compare it to something like social media, it's like, there was like ICQ and MSN Messenger and MySpace and Friendster. There was all that before Zuckerberg even thought of his stupid little website where he had like, you know, you'd say hot or not or whatever it was that got him banned from Harvard. And then he built Facebook. Like all that stuff happened before he could do that. And I actually think we're still at that stage of NFTs where it's like, we might still be at like the dot-com boom stage of NFTs. In the way that the person who's going to go and build the true, literal, like life-changing app in NFTs, they're probably still like 15 years old and they're just starting to learn computer science. And when they turn 19 or 20, they might build the Facebook of this stuff. But that's still, they won't be enabled to do that without this current surge of interest into this whole world. Right. So that's kind of where I see it. Where it's like, yes, there's this huge surge and where everybody like Rob Gronkowski is selling NFTs and like Paris Hilton and like, whoa, it's amazing. But it's like, no, like wait a couple years, wait until the younger generation has time to wrap their heads around this and actually come at it from a completely different perspective. That's where NFTs will actually change the way we do things.
So you're saying we should purchase a 14-year-old right now.
Yep.
Lock him or her up.
Already too much for me.
Use pay them in the sand token. How much sand do you have on you
cover them
right
in sand.
Now?
I think he said cover them in sand.
No, we have to think about this. Think outside the bun. All right. It would be a shame if we didn't talk about basketball a little bit. Where did you grow up? How did you become such an NBA fan? And do you have any finals predictions this year? Are you able to disassociate yourself from Top Shot and watch the game as
Absolutely.
A fan anymore?
Okay. Yeah, no, I haven't had the chance to watch too many games. But I did at the start of the season. I grew up downtown Toronto, so I'm a Raptors fan. So we finally got a championship, you know, just as a city because we hadn't had anything since the like mid-90s Blue Jays. So very satisfied and still feeling that. So it's okay if the Raptors are obviously having a hard time this year and trade away Kyle, like at peace with that at this point.
Wow. It's very
predictions. Whatever, man. We got ours. It's all good. You know, like we know we're not winning it this year. Like if we're going to win it this year, we would have had to trade for like Beal or something like that at the start of the year. You know what I mean? Right, we would have had to make a move that made sense to get some scoring, and we didn't, and that's fine. But it's like at this point, it is what it is. Predictions for this year, man. That's a great question. I think, you know, the trade today is a really big one of PJ Tucker going to the Bucks. Like that's a huge, huge move. You really got to wonder who's going to be able to stay healthy. I think that always comes back to that. Without a doubt, fully healthy, the final four are the Bucks, the Nets, and the Lakers and the Clippers. Like all the other teams, like great that some guys are having MVP years, all that kind of stuff. But it's like just knowing how basketball works, it's like that you need stars. You can't win a playoff series if you don't have the best player on the floor. And that that's not on paper. That's like whoever plays actually better in that series, the best player will typically win a playoff series unless you're like the Pistons from 2005 or whatever. So it's really going to be down to those four teams which player out of all everybody on those teams is going to play the best. Like, can LeBron play at that level? Can Kawhi find that form from 2 years ago? KD, Giannis, like I think that's really who it comes down to is who can rise above the top this year. I'd love to see Giannis finally get a championship. That would be freaking awesome. But I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Wow. You don't know? Damn it. I was hoping you could spoil it. Huge drop. So we can clip that as part of it. Be like, LG not only knows what's going to happen in Top Shot.
Okay. I do know. Roham told me.
He dropped it.
And he said the Pacers are going to win the championship, actually.
Oh, Brogdon. It was Brogdon.
It's going to be Brogdon finals MVP.
Yeah, I got to buy the moments.
Sorry.
I got to buy the moments.
Sorry, Roham. Yeah. Get the moments for Brogdon, man. It's going to happen. Sabonis. Miles Turner. I love Miles Turner. Great.
Show me Caris LeVert.
LeVert with his comeback. That team, yeah.
Can he be comeback player of the year
from
this
the
year?
Same season?
Can he?
No, I think it's too late.
Does that,
well, there is no
comeback
player.
It doesn't work
player.
Like that.
Yeah, there's no comeback. I think it's most improved.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. So he really couldn't win that award.
I think it's,
isn't
it's
there
coming
some
down
award?
To Grant, Randall, and Wood. Comeback player, there award isn't. I think the NFL has that.
Did they rebrand it? Just most improved?
Yeah, I think the NBA equivalent was most improved from last year to this.
Got you.
Okay, and then last little bit of advice. Somebody wants to get into Top Shot. I think signups are available. Do you have any good, like, intro, like, you know, buy what you like, maybe best cereal, worst player, any, like, general tips that you can give to anybody who's...
We just gave it away. All Pacers, baby. All Pacers.
All Brogdon, all day.
It's easy, baby.
It's
or you know what?
Forward.
Pick all the last place teams and just hope that one of them wins 20 in a row and makes the playoffs. That's a good strategy too. Yeah. Only the worst teams. Everybody on Minnesota. Perfect.
Longest odds.
seems like everyone has a couple of Cokies. Seems like we all got a couple of Cokies.
Actually, I feel like I actually do. That's weird you say that.
It's real.
I don't know why there's players in Top Shot that I feel like that's the only player I ever get and everybody else does. No, my advice honestly is that this is a very emotional product and it's also an investment product. So those are two very difficult things to balance. Buy a player you love, like a guy, not a fan favorite, but like someone that you're like, I kind of like this guy. And I don't think a lot of other people do. Like for me, it would be like, I don't know, like Miles Turner. I think Miles Turner is great. Like Caris LeVert the last couple of years, like these aren't the megastar players, but they're players that I'm like, no, I like even Markelle Fultz. I bought one of the first days I joined. I was like, I kind of like Markelle Fultz. Like, I hope he has a good comeback and he does really well in his career. And that to me is like the best way to emotionally invest at low stakes is to get players you love. And then otherwise, get in line for PAX. You want the PAX. The PAX are what it's all about. And then when it comes down to decisions, like people are like, should I keep these, like, you know, I have three Marvin Bagleys. Should I trade them in for LeBron? Yes, do it. Absolutely. Get the stars. Get. There's like an upper crust of players in Top Shot that to me are like the tried and true, like nothing can happen to these guys, mainly because their legacies are pretty much set, like LeBron, KD, and Steph. It's like those guys, any of those guys would retire right now and you'd be like, yes, that was one of the best players ever. Like without a doubt, they won everything they needed to win. Everybody else after that, even like Giannis or Luka or whatever, it's like, no, they still got plenty to prove. So that's a bit of a risky investment. Like a lot of people are like, I love Luka. It's like, yo, Luka's never won a playoff series, man. You don't know what his career is going to be like. If you go 3 years down the line and he's never won a playoff series, it's kind of a bust, isn't it?
Yeah, if he doesn't win one playoff series by the age
of 25. Underwhelming. Underwhelming.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, say, yeah, without
right?
a doubt.
Yeah, not maybe...
For an MVP candidate.
Maybe Price is not going for what they are now if he can't get that done. And the same goes for any player that the general media narrative is that they still have something left to prove.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Definitely. So if you're investing for the long term in Top Shot, it's like, yeah, Zion's having a great season, but dude's never been in the postseason. He's never even played a fully healthy season. Like... That's great. I love Zion. I have a lot of great Zion moments. But man, like, you got to choose between him and like a KD. Like, go KD. Are you crazy? Like, that's guaranteed.
Solid, yeah. Money in the bank.
I think it's money in the dapper. I think the new expression is money in the dapper, folks.
Now we're
money
talking.
In the dapper. The pretty psyched about that one. Not going to lie. Pretty psyched
that's a
about that
great
one.
Great one to end it on, too. Okay, LG, again, if people want to hear more, gain more insight, what's the podcast? What's the Twitter? How do people find you?
My handle's at Roham. On Twitter, no. So when people ask me like, "What's your name in Top Shot?" I'm like, "Roham, it's Roham." It's just like send gift moments to Roham. No, so you can find me at The First Mint on Twitter and on YouTube as well. We do a couple shows a week. We got two podcasts per week, Mondays and Wednesdays. So you can find those on iTunes and Spotify, all the usual places. Twitter's where it's at, though. That's where we get a lot of action. That's where we post all the Woj news, like all the, you know, yesterday was that there's another All-Star set coming, so we posted that, like, kind of pretty much breaking right when it happened. So that's a place to be, is those places to see what's going on at The First Minute with Top Shot.
Sweet. Well, I know there you're insanely busy right now, so we appreciate you taking the time.
It's a pleasure.
Of course. The pleasure is all ours. And thank you guys for listening. Of course, we'll be back as soon as possible. Get that Top Shot. Get in there. Join us. Join those pack drops. They're fun.
Later.
Bye, everybody.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.